Hello, everybody, and welcome to your favorite podcast. It's the Joycast. I'm your host, Amatir, also joined by my lovely co-host, Torin Senpai, the handsome god of iron and the shy sly dude.
Thank you. Right. Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right. Okay. All right.
And today we are talking about the no surprise here, Xbox gameplay reveal that happened yesterday. That was Thursday.
World premiere.
That was Sunday, the 23rd of July. World premiere. You know, funny enough, the first time I was watching the conference, I was just like, don't say world premiere. The next thing that came up was world premiere. I was like, well, they doubled down on that shit. Okay, fine.
The marketing team, they spent so much on the marketing team. They have to do it.
Marketing was just like, yo, this is money. Okay, so first things first, unpopular, actually not probably unpopular opinion, very popular opinion, and I would venture a guess. They just looked at what Sony did and tried to copy it verbatim and make it like, try to copy verbatim, but make it their own. Like, so they had the same format as Sony, right? But then I could see where they were focusing on key things. So everything had already happened after Sony, right? And so they could see everything happened at the Sony conference, all the things the fans liked and all the things the fans didn't like about their conference and all the data. And I kind of saw them put all that into this conference. And so for that alone, it has to be a good conference. The games look good. I mean, graphically, they look good. I mean, I guess what matters now is, you know, it looks like they have some interesting IPs coming out. But does anybody care? That's the key thing. Does anybody care?
Doubtful.
For me personally, I don't care.
I can see that, and I'm the Xbox. I'm the Xbox guy here. It didn't move me to want to get the Series X, to be honest. After everything that's happened, yeah, I'm like, someone should like wait like a year or so to get it. But all that kept coming to me was, all right, which means you need to get a TV that can play the Series X. So rather than buy the Series X now, buy the TV.
Once you've got 120 hertz, fam. Yeah, there's only like 5 displays that can do that, yeah, star TVs.
So once you've got the TV, then you get the Series X. Because essentially, first of all, Phil Spencer said a while back, there's no new content. There's no new support. There's no new exclusive for the Series X. They are all going to be... So it's going to be Xbox One games that can be played on the Series X. To be enhanced for the Series X. The best version of the game will be on the Series X. But I can play it in my OG Xbox One. So what's the point?
Why bother? Exactly.
I have the Series X and I'm still using my old HDMI, HD TV, I'm going to be underutilizing the console. So all I'll be losing out on is faster loading speeds.
Well, you'll still get super sampling, which will look super great on a 1080p screen. Or if you're playing Ori, you know, the thing with Ori and the Will of the Wisp, I wish the Lapa was here, you'll need to get what's it called? You need to get a 4K 120 hertz TV, which, like I said, there's only like 5 of that I know of anyway.
Yes, yes, yes. I was going to say that at their announcements or their event, they didn't, how would I explain it? So for me, I'm always looking out for like JRPGs and like Japanese games all in all. But that a few games came out, but they were getting old games like Dragon Quest XI that even came out on the 3DS. It's just coming to the Xbox. And it just felt like, yes, they're still in the past. Yeah, but it's still kind of like, they're still kind of like not doing anything that gets someone like me interested in their games. So it was really, really, really boring for me. But yeah, that's just for me.
Not nitpick on what you're saying, but what did PlayStation do for the JRPG with the PS5?
See, the thing is, you can see that. I mean, I understand where Babs is coming from because it probably felt like they were just like ticking boxes and not actually looking at what people wanted. And where PlayStation has them beat is that PlayStation has already has a significant and well-storied history about ushering JRPGs onto the gaming world, pretty much. I mean, when you have a legacy like Final Fantasy VII, the more recent remake, which is still a timed exclusive, and for a while, Final Fantasy as a series was PlayStation exclusive. And just basically the way, I mean, they're pretty like JRPG focused anyways. So it's like, yeah, they might not have announced any major JRPGs in their conference, but you know that they're coming because they came for the PS1, they came for the PS2, and they came for the PS3, and they've been delivering for the PS4. So it's like, there's like, it's not that big a deal as opposed to Xbox that in this arena should have something to prove, I feel.
Yeah, can I also add to what Bash said? Kind of like when you look at this year, for instance, like how PlayStation 4 started with like their games. They started with like Neo 2, moved to Final Fantasy, The Last of Us, then finished with Ghost of Tsushima. Just each one was like a hit, like back to back, and everything was like, nothing got a review of less than 8, to be honest. And everything was really, really great. They had Persona 5 Royal. So many games came out for like the PlayStation. So I know they have the JRPG pack covered. They have their exclusives and new IPs covered. But the Xbox had like none of that at all. They had their returning IPs that they didn't show any gameplay of. They had like Halo, which I feel like they've beaten like to death at this point. And it just seems like there's nothing new and interesting like going on from their conference. That's why I got news.
You know what? So Go ahead.
Yeah. So I mean, yes, they had some returning IP, which I think a lot of people are happy about because you know they hadn't seen some of these IP like Fable in a while. And, you know, it's just kind of like God of War. Like, you look at Halo, you say Halo's been beaten to death, but God of War is quite literally beaten to death. They killed all the gods, so they had to basically take it to like, you know, the Norse realm, right? So, you know, I mean...
soft reboot as well, so...
Yeah, so, I mean, your cash cow's going to be a cash cow, you know? Like, for as long as you can make it your cash cow. So I understand Halo still being there.
I disagree with that.
Wait, I never finished. All right. So I think
Final Fantasy VII is a timed exclusive, by the way. Just wanted to drop that.
True. That's also true. Okay. So yeah. I wouldn't agree that there's nothing new. There are definitely new games that are revealed, like Avowed, which seems interesting. There was Dusk as Falls. This is not new, but they had Second Watch 2. And what else do they have? I mean, they're launching with Tetris Effect Connected, but that's not a new game. But I mean, it's a new game, but it's not a, what's it called? But they had other things like The Gunk and Everwild, right? All these games, and Crossfire X, all these games are new, right? And so that comment you made about nothing new being shown, I definitely 100% disagree with that. That's not true. They showed a lot of new IP. The thing is, they were just kind of like cinematic trailers. We didn't really know what the games were about. They seemed kind of interesting. We saw some gameplay. And they looked interesting enough. But, you know, like, I think we need to hear more from the developers about these games and why we should care about them, you know? I think that's the major thing that they were missing from theirs, because I think the major difference between Sony and Xbox is that, you know, let's be frank. You know, Xbox didn't do so well this last generation. So a lot of people that are looking at, you know, the Xbox conference are, you know, probably some Sony boys who once had Xboxes and girls and every other kind of gender there is. Okay, just tossing out there. Oh my God. Right? Sure. And, yeah, you know. So, what's it called? They're probably looking at it. They're definitely the current Xbox people looking at it, right? Probably anybody that's kind of interested in gaming will say, okay, what is Microsoft or Xbox bringing to the table right now? You know, we know they've got the most powerful console. We know that it's easy to develop for. It might not have some peculiar features that the PlayStation does that are actually quite good. But generally, you can expect to play like a balled out top tier gaming PC, right?
Mm.
And, mm-hmm, you know, that's what you know you've got with Xbox. So it's kind of interesting to some people, like, okay, you've got the most powerful console, sure. But you know, how does that, how do the games, you know, translate into this? What are the games you're making? Why will they be cool? And why should I care about them? I think what Xbox failed to do that Sony did very well was grip you with the different kind of games, you know, that they showed. I won't lie. Some of the games that showed up at Sony conferences, it's like, what the hell? Like, I didn't really care about them. Like that one where you're eating things and they became part of you or something. What was that called? I can't remember that game. I just kept like asking why. But obviously that's gonna be interesting to some certain people.
Was that Bug Snacks?
That's the one. Bug Snacks.
Yeah. Oh my god. I just got that song out of my head. Christ. 0/10.
I was like, why?
On social media, people are hyped about the game and keep saying, yeah, and stuff like that.
So, for me, so when I look at it, I feel like that's the thing, is that, you know, just as everybody else has said so far, Xbox doesn't really have this first-party pedigree that Sony or Nintendo has, right? And, you know, if they're introducing a new IP, we know who the developers are, but they still need to explain why we should care about these games, these new IPs, etc. With Sony, we just know that they do good stuff. So we're just like, if they show something that's kind of weird, we're like, maybe it'll be interesting. That's the first thing we'll think. With Xbox, we're like, yeah, but is it going to be good though? You know?
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, I'm still excited for some of the games coming, mostly because, you know, everything's coming to Game Pass, so I don't really need to buy a Series X.
In fact, I was just about to talk about that. The conference was pretty much one big trailer for Game Pass. It really was. And that's one thing I actually wanted to talk about. And in fact, this was actually expanded upon by Alana Pierce, in fact, games journalist. And she made such a good point about it that people are not talking about Xbox, and it's really weird because the fact that pretty much all those like top tier games that they announced, and they're coming to Game Pass, they're coming to this like $15 a month subscription. Okay, well, $15 a month a subscription, that sort of thing. And it's pretty much like seeing
it's Netflix
and the next Marvel movie and stuff like that. They're coming straight to Netflix.
It's the Netflix formula, the subscription formula.
And that's and you know, that's huge because like that's a really huge thing. And if people like that, it's entirely possible that other game companies could see that people like getting AAA games all on the same platform for a subscription, and it could make games so much easier to access. Because think about it, look at the issues that we had growing up getting access to games. That was tough, and it was also expensive, so we couldn't get all that many. But with $15. With $15, a whole lot more people could get a whole lot more games, like with access to them, you know, and it could help like smaller developers as well get their works out there, because that's, you know, that's how Rocket League got big. That's how a couple of games got big, because people got to try them for free or for really, really cheap. And the things that I realized that I didn't see the implications of that at first, and it's a problem, and it's sad because at this point in time I've become so jaded by the sneaky ways these big companies, especially Microsoft, try to get into my wallet and nickel and dime me, that sort of thing. So when they give such an objectively amazing value, this Game Pass has better value than anything either of the other two companies are doing. It's just bigger. I think arguably Steam, maybe with the exception of Steam sales, I don't know, but it's huge. It's huge. And I saw it and I just like, I didn't care because I was just literally already so burned from the other people, like the Ubisoft and the Microsoft and the Always Online and that. Because they're the reason right now that console gamers are paying for online.
Can't believe you didn't mention EA. Mention Ubisoft, but you didn't mention EA. Wow.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm talking about the big companies, but yeah, I mean, obviously, EA, we all at this point, I don't even know that there's any need for me to mention EA. If I have to mention EA, then I don't know.
They've been selling the same games since 2016.
Yes. Yes, they have been. They have been. So yeah, it's this sort of thing where, objectively, that Xbox conference and things they're announcing, everything from Game Pass, that is absolutely goddamn amazing. And if other companies could follow suit, if this Game Pass becomes like a major success, and I do hope it does. Like, I mean, well, even more of a success than it's currently being. And it's
exactly. I was like, it's already a success.
I was like, wait, what am I talking about? This is already doing great. What I meant was for a success for both the consumer and for Xbox, because Xbox has to make money, right? And at this point in time, they're still bleeding cash, but they can do it because they're Microsoft. And even if they release games on Xbox, and they release it on PC, it's still technically a Microsoft exclusive. Because
Can I ask a question?
You know, say something.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking is that as much as we want game companies to do this, I'm sure they are also businesses and they have to make a profit as well. So I don't know how Game Pass works per se, but I would say, are people going to let off like their... I know when people like Ghost of Tsushima launched and it became fastest selling and they sold the game for like $50 to $60 and stuff like that. So that launch kind of like money that they made, I feel like most of the games I've seen on Game Pass, apart from the Xbox exclusive, they are games that have been out for like a while. They passed kind of like their, how would I put it, their launch dates. They are kind of like on there as kind of like when you rent stuff, but not on release. So I don't know if companies are willing to give up their launch dates for Game Pass, but maybe after a year or two.
But Babs, that's not looking at the big picture. Yeah. So if you can get your launch day sales as your game company, so like Ghost of Tsushima now, they made their 40 million or how many million they made it. Now, no one's, the people that are going to buy it have bought it. But then the other guys after still pay the out of their $15 or something, they still get their commission or whatever. What's it called? They'll be getting their commission from that one long term. You're now getting your game not just to, and some developers say it's not just for the money, it's for the people to experience their game. So that way, more people are experiencing their games. Look at it that way.
As it's fun for people to experience your games, they also have to make money to pay their employees and stuff.
But let me tell you something. Look at the Netflix model. You see, that stuff, it works when you are at scale. It's like how you make a profit when you're selling products wholesale, when you're selling in bulk.
Well, careful. I don't think Netflix has made a profit yet.
I suppose. But look,
the video game industry is bigger than movie and others.
Well, they make more money, certainly. But I want you to look at it in terms of volume. If they can get the more attractive that they make their service and the more people that they get signing on to the service, once they reach a particular number of subscribers, it will actually offset any costs or any potential dips that they would have had in day one sales, day one losses as well. Because what's going to happen is, I think in theory, is that it will stabilize, because obviously not every day one is going to be a big hit and not every day one is going to be a flop. What's going to happen is they're going to get guaranteed revenue, because with the value of all the things that they are meant to be putting on Game Pass, if one particular game isn't on release, it isn't a hit for someone, some other game might be, and that would be a cause for them to give their $15.
I also want to put it out there that just because the game is available on Game Pass doesn't mean you can't buy the game. Do you understand? Yes.
Yeah, so yeah, that's true.
Let's also not forget that angle. You could still buy the game, and you could say, "Oh, I don't want to buy the game. I just want to have it for 3 months or 2 months while it's still on Game Pass, or for 7 months while it's on Game Pass." And that's what happens for the games that are not game Xbox exclusive. Similar to Netflix, they have their roster, they have their time in which they're there. Such as like GTA 5 was free for a while back, and then it's slots left, and now it's Red Dead Redemption that is there. GTA 5 is still available on sale. It's still available for purchase on the Xbox Store.
Yeah. So you know what? So when I look at Game Pass, yeah, I don't think it's something that's new, right? I feel like it's just offering the best value. Why is it offering the best value? Okay. So you're getting a bunch of old games, sure, but you also get a bunch of first-party studio games as they launch. For me, that's the only thing that sets it apart from PlayStation Now, right? And also the way it's also kind of all bundled together, where it's like, okay, you want your online play, you want Game Pass on PC and on Xbox, just get Ultimate, everything on one price and you're good. Whereas for PlayStation, it's like, oh no, you know, pay for PSN, pay for a PS Now, pay for all these different services. It's not all together. And that's the one advantage that Game Pass has over PS Now, otherwise it wouldn't have. And then obviously Stadia is just that it has no games. Stadia literally has no games. So when we look at, even though the games for Game Pass are old, some of them are old, we can't forget that they actually have a bigger library than a lot of other services.
Cool. And speaking for like the trophy hunters, Kune, how's it playing with your Final Fantasy 14 on PC and PlayStation? Did you get that?
Yeah, so I mean, for trophy hunters, it's not really a big deal, right? So I think the one benefit that Game Pass has, obviously, is Xbox Live across both PC and things, right? But that's for specifically games I buy through the Microsoft Store. So, for example, all my games on Steam, right? I don't get that crossover onto Xbox Live, even though it's on the Windows OS. But I get Steam achievements and things like that, and it's all good. But anything I get through Game Pass, yeah, I will definitely have it for both for my Xbox account, wherever it is, whether it's on any Xbox console or whether it's on my PC through Xbox Game Pass or buying off the Microsoft Store specifically.
Okay. Another thing I wanted to raise was that from the events, like Bash said earlier, it just seemed like a huge advance for Game Pass. And it didn't seem like there was a huge draw to the Series X itself. In fact, it's kind of like, from what I've seen from their marketing as a whole, it's like, oh, you don't really need to get the Series X. You can get most of these games on PC and also on the Xbox One and just play it because you can actually upgrade it later. So there's not a huge need to actually like buy the Series X from. That's the message I'm getting from their marketing anyways.
Yeah, and that's what I said in the beginning. It's like they're not pushing for Series X sales. I don't know, it's like sales is not their target of the hardware. They're more interested. It was just a subscription. Yes, okay, we have a powerful game, but yay, look at this game that you can pay for $15.
It just leads to the fact that really, at this point in time, console wars are, for the time being, at the very least, they're kind of dead. Kind of mostly dead. Because at this point in time, each of the three major gaming companies, they have different win conditions, each of them. And for Xbox, it's getting people onto Xbox Live, moving on to subscription service. And so far, they're doing really great in that. They've had lots of positive reception from the Game Pass, and even now they're taking steps to make it an even more attractive deal. And in that regard, I think they've done pretty well. And for Sony, for them, victory means selling enough consoles to get their games into homes, pretty much, you know. I'm not entirely, I can't claim that I know what Nintendo's end goals are. I'm pretty sure they've made the Switch a success. They're still doing handhelds. And they're making people pay $60 for snipper clips or whatever. So that's profit for them. So that's calm, that sort of thing. So them too, they have their own goals, which is why they even they released the Switch so soon after the Wii U. They've even completely abandoned the idea of console generations altogether. You know, so they're winning as well in that regard. So. Yeah, at this point in time, it's all just like looking at the companies and look at what the objectives are and look at how close they are to achieving them.
So and, the only person losing is Stadia.
It looks like Xbox is well on the... Stadia losing implies they could even get into the arena. They couldn't. They're just like dead on the... No. Stadia, no, we don't talk about the S word here. Those guys are done. I don't know, until the next Project Google's attempts, I don't know. But yeah, pretty much. So, I mean, well done Xbox. Things are looking kind of interesting, although it is a shame though that their next gen games didn't look particularly next gen. You know? I think a lot of people were sort of like disappointed with the Halo and the way it looked, and it was like, yeah, it looks fine, but it looks like it doesn't look anything crazy special, not like
and the world was powerful console. It was really, really sad.
Yes, exactly. If you're gonna be talking about how you're so big and you're so powerful and you have so many more teraflops than the other competition, then people better be able to damn see it.
You better be able to bank high. And they were never to.
What? Yes, it was pretty sad stuff, to be honest. Even because the Halo, apart from the background music, which got me in my feels, I didn't really see like a push in the tech also. I want to blame my internet connection and the fact that I'm watching it on YouTube. But it still didn't have that wow factor that I was looking for, apart from nostalgia. I'm not sure. Like, if you see the trailer for the CGI trailer for State of Decay 3, in my head I was like, oh my gosh, are these game graphics? They got black hair. Look at how her hair looks African and whatever. I'm like, if that's how the game ends up being, kudos to the Series X for mad graphics, but if that's just like a CGI animated movie, it's not selling it for me. And even I'm even thinking as if I'm imagining I was a game developer, yeah, and I'm thinking of where do I want to launch my game on? Do I want to go PlayStation route, or do I want to go to Xbox route? Based off what people at Xbox had done with their console, I won't be impressed. I'd rather go to PlayStation. I think Xbox is just selling me hogwash. Case in point, the easiest comparables would be Psychonauts and Ratchet and Clank. So we saw Ratchet and Clank at the PS5 show. Then I saw Psychonauts at the Xbox show, and I'm like, okay, if I want to get a game within this genre or within this, how like should I call it, this specification, this set, or what, I'll get a PS5 to play Ratchet and Clank than to get an Xbox to play Psychonauts. So apart from the people that have the nostalgia from playing Psychonauts 1, which was not me in the last generation, also it didn't wow me. The only other thing that I thought was like a good comparison was Forza Motorsport. That had in-game footage and the graphics, like the lap of shots, all the ray tracing and stuff was in full effect there. I was like, okay, I need to watch this video side by side with the Gran Turismo video to see, what these guys are offering graphically. But aside that game, I was underwhelmed. I was put off. Like as I'll say, I wasn't like I said earlier in the conference in the podcast. it was pushing me more to getting a good TV than to getting the Series X come holiday.
So another thing I would like to say is that Kule mentioned God of War and how Sony was kind of like beating it to death and all that stuff. But if you look at the last God of War and they had to like totally reinvent it, change a lot of things, I was hoping something similar would come to like Halo. But from what I've seen, it's kind of like the two bits and pieces from like current trends of like FPS with the whole grappling hook and all that stuff. But if you look at things like Doom and Shadow Warrior 3, from watching it alone, it looks really, really fun. But Halo didn't get a lot of that right. And everything was kind of like messy and... I was saying that the grappling hook... Okay, I play Apex Legends and I've seen Pathfinder's grappling hook and how satisfying it looks to use and all those things. So a lot of the things that they introduced were not that satisfying compared to other games, and the gameplay footage shown didn't really capture that as well.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what's so infinite about this Halo, right? It's called Halo Infinite, so...
So I think it's because it's like Destiny. It looks like they just took Bungie's engine and made a Halo game. Mm. It literally looks like Destiny, but better graphics, in my opinion. So I think, you know how Destiny's been going for 5 years, or is it 4 years? 5-6 years, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's the same thing, same concept. That's what they'll be doing. That's what it looks like. It looks like that's what Halo Infinite is. It's just Destiny.
So the Infinite part means like, oh, it's never ending. So it's just going to be a series of updates upon updates. You shouldn't be expecting the main story.
Exactly. Eventually, even the main story could get updates. Do you get? That's what happens with Destiny. You get story updates and you get gameplay changes and tweaks and things like that. So I think that's what they're going for with this.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
So it was rather meh for me. I didn't want to see meh.
Yeah, that's so weird because for me, I was like, yo, Halo looks great. I mean, it's completely Destiny, but fuck, it looks great. I mean, so overall, do you think that this is going to hurt Microsoft? Because it's way miles and miles better than their last presentation. It was a good presentation. The only thing is, if they had come correct... I don't know about that, Michelle. Yeah. But I mean, we'll have our suspicions. I mean, either way, whether people are buying Series X or Game Pass, you know, Microsoft wins. Microsoft is moving beyond the box.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. Pretty much. All I know is that I was happy and I was also annoyed when I saw that Fable trailer, because on one hand I was like, yeah, Fable, I could finally get to play it after all these years, because it's a game I was so jealous of Xbox owners for being able to play. But then I saw it, I was like, oh my god, the entire trailer is pre-rendered. It's in CG. Which means this game is not coming out for at least the next 2 years. Because if there's anything that I have learned from Square Enix and my wait for Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy. I've learned that, okay, like once they start releasing pre-rendered trailers, this game... They're still working out the combat system. They're still working out the bugs there. They haven't even fully balanced like the starting area.
We just passed the concept stage.
Yeah, pretty much, you know. So, like, I'm happy that Fable got announced. I look forward to getting it on PC, because Microsoft is now so consumer friendly, and I won't have to buy their box to play that great game. So we'll see how that goes in a couple of years.
Yeah, speaking about user-friendly, Microsoft's store works in Nigeria for some games, in case you all didn't know. So you can buy your games with the Naira, not with the dollars, with the Naira.
So, nice. That's very exciting. So, we can finally spend our money on them. Woohoo! What we always dreamed of.
I'm waiting to see the next AAA game that comes out and see how the Naira store compares, how the Naira store spend, like what the exchange rate is like, if it's going to give us like 400 naira to a dollar, 360 to a dollar. If it's cheaper to buy it in naira than using your dollar card to buy it.
God, let us get it cheaper. We need a break, please. Honestly.
Epic Games on PC, if you're in Nigeria or anywhere in Africa, their games are much cheaper than they are abroad.
Fantastic.
Lower disposable income.
I love to see it.
You should do that at least.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fact of life, unfortunately, man. Can't go about be spending $60 willy-nilly.
Okay, can anybody say that there's not a single game that appeals to them from the Xbox session, the Xbox gameplay reveal?
There is not a single game that appeals to me. There is not a single game that appeals to me.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say Fable, but again, I'm already considering how I felt about Fable way back in the Xbox days. So I don't know if it's fair to say that anything they've currently shown really appeals to me. But I am happy for the people that they are catering to at the moment. And there is promise. There is some promise, you know.
I like what I saw with Everwild from Rare. That looked like it's been a fun game. I mean, then the Avowed from the cinematic trailer. It looked like Obsidian's take on Skyrim and I think Dragon Age also. For first person role playing mystical game. Yeah. That was it for me really.
So I think for me I was interested in Avowed. Avowed seems somewhat interesting. What else seemed interesting to me? You know, Fable, I think it's cool for people. I'm just not sure if it's for me. Right? What else came out? Forza is always cool. I think it's a better driving game than Gran Turismo. I think it's more interesting and more fun, personally. That's just me. Right?
Then there was Stalker 2 as well.
True. There's Psychonauts 2 as well. There's Warhammer. Tetris Effect. I mean, to be honest, which one are their Xbox? There's one thing I want to talk about. They had this term, Xbox launch exclusive. What does that even mean?
It should come out on the Xbox first.
Ah, that's what they meant. So
yeah, any way to get your clouds. Wow. So launch exclusive, timed exclusive. What other exclusives are there? There's launch exclusive. There's console exclusive.
World exclusives.
And there's world premiere exclusive. So they're different forms of exclusives.
Yeah. But I mean, so I guess anything that's single player, I'm interested in what's coming out from Double Fine, just because I just want to see what it is. I'm interested in seeing how Fable is. The Gunk seems somewhat interesting. Everwild seems kind of interesting.
And there's Crossfire X.
Right. I mean, and also there's also the fact they didn't have a console to reveal at the end, right? To get everybody excited. There was nothing like that. But for the PS5 reveal, I think I felt more convinced about certain games, right? For me, the only game that really speaks to me for real is Halo Infinite, because I just want to play it and I can get it on Game Pass without buying a Series X. Yet they still win. Hey, because they get my money anyway. Even though it's just $5 instead of $60.
I just feel like there was nothing to look forward to. Have you even seen the controller for the Series X?
Yeah, they showed the controller when the console was revealed.
Yeah, they revealed that a while ago.
I don't remember what it looks like. Jeez, that's bad.
It looks like the Xbox One controller with the share button.
Yeah, basically like the new Xbox One controller, not the old one. Like the new Xbox One controller with the share button,
basically. And that's because you can still use your Xbox One to play on the Series X. So you don't need to get new controllers and stuff when you get the console.
Yeah, which is basically like Microsoft and all the things that they're doing. And well, I mean, they've given us a fair bit to go on, but it's not crazy amounts. And there's still a lot of what we're still doing right now is just speculation, to be honest. And we don't know how that's going to turn out. All we can do is surmise, we can guess, and we can also pay attention to their past and how they've done things before. And maybe we gain some insight as to how the future is going to go. Regardless, should be an interesting next couple years.
Yeah, it should be. Xbox has definitely set themselves up for what they believe is the last console generation. And they're going to try to push themselves through services going forward. Whereas, you know, I feel like Sony is currently working on its own services with Microsoft on Azure, right? So I think we expect to see an upgrade to what PS Now is offering. I think that's why they're not pushing it so hard now, because I don't think the technology is actually ready. I think they're still building out whatever they're doing on, you know, Microsoft Azure. Yeah.
Working the kinks and whatnot. Project the X Cloud will be available to the public as well via Xbox Game Pass, no extra cost.
Yeah, well, Ultimate or regular Xbox Game Pass? Because I don't have Ultimate.
Same Game Pass. Same thing.
Awesome. This is one thing that's good. So yeah, Game Pass is the main message here. Game Pass rocks, guys. Forget the Series X.
Yeah, but I noticed they didn't actually say Game Pass Ultimate. They kept saying Game Pass, Game Pass, Game Pass, Game Pass. So maybe they might be thinking of shrinking it down. Because you know how they've removed the Xbox Live Gold annual subscription to just quarterly and monthly. So I think they're gradually, consolidating their assets or their product. So maybe come the end of the year, it might not be Game Pass Ultimate, it might just be Game Pass.
Perhaps. Synergy.
I did not see, maybe just me, but I did not see Game Pass Ultimate. It was always available on Game Pass, available on Game Pass, available on Game Pass. So. Ultimate lets you play between PC and Xbox. But we just pick from one end, it's Game Pass. So, I guess that's where they're coming from.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's it. Well, guys, we've had a great 45 minutes talking to y'all. Actually, let me move that because I don't know how long this thing's actually going to be by the end. But it's been awesome talking to y'all. Let us know what you think about the Xbox gameplay reveal. Was it everything you wanted? Was it sexy? Was it... Or... was it just, you know, surface with no depth? Let us know. We're here for you. This is Amaterasu signing off alongside my other co-hosts.
Dorsey, bye. Timmy Monty, the cool one. The handsome one.
Yeah.
The blessed one. The soon to be buff one.
Anyways, Shy Side Dude here, signing out.
And I am God of Iron.
Yo.
Signing out.
Wow. Just impersonation, just like that. Okay, no wala.
Thanks for listening to our podcast, guys. Don't forget to subscribe. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at JoysticksNG. That's JoysticksNG. We also make awesome YouTube videos. You can check out our channel, Joysticks Entertainment. We have tons of content up and more coming every single week. We just covered Apex Legends Season 5 update with Loba. Subscribe there too so you don't miss any of the exciting stuff we've got coming your way. And see you in the next one.